Sermon title today is The Revelation of Jesus. We welcome you to Crossroads Gospel Church, and the word gospel means the good news. And at this church, we believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came, He died for our sins, He arose from the grave, and that He is coming again. We preach His ministry, that He is our Savior, that He is our healer, that He is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and He is our soon returning King. Yes, we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the world that you live in today, you're going to find very few churches that believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how sad that is in America today. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, and I will explain myself as we go today. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Isn't this a great day in the Lord? Are you glad you came out to church today? We miss you when you aren't here, but praise God, when you are here, you can feel the presence of the Lord in this place, and we rejoice in His love forevermore. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed faith from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 14 again, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. I owe everyone the opportunity that I come in contact with to share the good news with them. I heard a minister say one time, you're either a missionary or you are a mission field. And which are you today? Are you a missionary that's taking the gospel into the world? Or are you a mission field where somebody needs to share the gospel with you? In verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. No, we are not ashamed of the gospel, great good news about Jesus. It is the power of God to salvation. The power of God was released through Jesus to bring salvation to the world. And let me tell you, that power was not released to anyone else, but only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. And why is that important today? Because it is only through Jesus that you can be saved. It is only through Jesus that you can be saved. Say that with me. It is only through Jesus that you can be saved. And it's so important in our world today because there are so many Christians out there that do not believe that. Or they believe that, but they also believe that you can be saved through other unbelieving type systems. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts 4 and verse 12. And if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, if you feel like underlining in your Bible, this is one you should have underlined. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Acts 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is not found in any other. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we talked about the power of God. The Greek word here, again, is used as dunamis. It is the word that we get the word dynamite from. You remember that they were supposed to tarry in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were going to be power. They were going to receive power to be witnesses unto the world. That was the dynamite that the Lord Jesus was going to touch them with. And He was going to touch them, and He was going to give them the power of dynamite to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people in the world. The good news about Jesus is this. The dynamite power of God was released through Jesus that we might be saved. That dynamite power was released through no other. There is no other name in heaven or under heaven, whereby that we may be saved. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We talked about so much of this in faith school this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, go over to verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. And we got so many young people pouring through their Bibles, that excites me. I remember when my mom come to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and she started coming to church. And she started coming to church, and she was in her 60s when she started coming to church, and she would look in the index, and she would find out where the book was so she could get to the page that her son was preaching on. I wish everybody was looking in the index, don't you? Everybody that doesn't know Jesus, they would start coming to church and start looking in the index. They want to see that word for themselves. They want to read it for themselves. Amen? Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, for this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all. God's desire is for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But here comes the rub. But there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Okay? So 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are we there? Okay. Who desires, in verse 4, all desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man. So there's somebody that stands between us and God. There's somebody that stands between us being reconciled back to our Heavenly Father. And who is it? It's the Christ Jesus. He stands between us. He is our mediator. We must come to Him. It's only through Him that we can be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In verse 6, He gave Himself a ransom for all. He died for all. He gave His life on the cross for all. To be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. God wants and desires all to be saved, but who stands between us and God? Jesus. He is the mediator. Now, this is not only foundational, and I know I'm singing to the choir here, but sometimes you need to sing to the choir, but this is also critical. 10 years ago, I'm going to give you a statistic. 10 years ago, 26% of all Christians believed that other faiths could lead you to eternal life. 26%. I'm not talking about the world population or the United States population. I'm talking about Christian believers. That 10 years ago, 26% of all Christians in the United States believed that other faiths could lead you to eternal life. We know that that is not true. It's only through Jesus that you can be saved. There is no other in heaven or under heaven whereby you may be saved. But listen to me. In 2020, 10 years later. So 10 years ago, 26% of the Christians in America believed that you could be saved by other faiths. Other faiths could lead you to eternal life. 10 years later in 2020, today 52% of American Christians believe that non-Christian faiths can lead you to eternal life. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and whateverism. What a lie that people are believing today. That means 52% of Christians don't believe the Word of God, nor is the truth of the Scriptures. And have not churches and pastors put us in this position? No altar calls, no public confession, fill out a card, yes, I believe. We don't want to embarrass people, so we don't want people to come forward. If your religion has not changed your life, you better change your religion. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, I am a new creation. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I became a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things became new. In 1 Timothy 2:4, God wants and desires for all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 8:44, says that Satan is a liar and he's the father of all lies, and mankind will believe a lie before they will believe the truth. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, or I believe the old King James says hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Mankind is blinded to the reality of Jesus. You know why it's so hard to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and get people to accept? Jesus doesn't want anything other than the good for you. He wants you to have the best life. He wants you to have the best marriage. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to put your feet on the rock to stay. And someday he wants to take you to heaven with him. Now, what's so bad about that? So why is that so hard to communicate to the world that we live in today? Because the unbelieving world have scales, or they're blinded to the reality of Christ. And who has blinded them to the reality of Christ? The God with a little g, Satan. He is the one that has blinded their eyes. In verse 3 it says, but even if our gospel is veiled or hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And I ask you, why is mankind perishing? Because there is no revelation. Now turn with me to Proverbs 29:18. We're going to get to the interesting part of this sermon today. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. 29 and verse 18. Proverbs is right after Psalms there. So Proverbs 29 verse 18. In verse 18 it says, where there is no revelation. Now the old King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And you heard me share about that the night that we voted, that we need to have a vision for the church. We have a vision. God has placed that vision in our eyes that we're going to build, that we're going to grow, that God is going to expand His ministry. He's not going to expand Leo's ministry. God's going to expand His ministry. And He's asked us to be a part of it, and we rejoice because we can be a part of it, and we praise Him forevermore. But the other side of that, when it talks about this in the Scripture, in Proverbs 29:18. In 29:18 in the New King James, and I think also in the NIV, it says, where there is no revelation. Where there is no revelation. Where the Word of God is not revealed to their hearts and to their lives, and what happens to them? The people cast off restraint, but as happy is he who keeps the law. But in the Old King James, it says, where there is no vision, people perish. Now listen to me. So many people tell me, I have never heard from God. And let me tell you, you can't be saved without a revelation from God. You can't be saved, now listen to me, you can't be saved unless there is a revelation of God to you. And if you are saved, you've had a revelation from God. And I can prove it to you. I can prove it to you. Turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44. In John chapter 6, verse 44, John chapter 6, verse 44, I got to learn to slow down a little bit. Yeah, I hear the yeah. John chapter 6, 44. I'm going to read it and then I'll reread it again. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me does what? Draws him. And I will raise him up the last day. So that's John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. You cannot come to Jesus unless what? The Father draws you. He draws you by revelation. And how does that revelation take place? How does it happen? It happens and it takes place by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now go over to John 16. Oh, we're staying in the same book, guys. That'll help us a little bit. John chapter 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7 through 11. In verse 7 of John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So now let's look at the Holy Spirit's work in a person's life before salvation. Before you're saved. Look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Now verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. If you've ever felt conviction in your life, and I believe that all of us could probably say amen to that, before I came to know Jesus, I was convicted of my sin. I recognized that the sin that I had, and I recognized the forgiveness I needed, and I recognized my need for a Savior. That is a revelation from God. If you've recognized that, God has spoken that into your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, because mankind does not recognize the need for God unless the Holy Spirit is working in their life. For each and every one of us to reveal to us the need of a Savior. By revelation, you recognize that you were a sinner. By revelation, you knew that you needed a Savior, that you needed forgiveness. And by revelation, that you needed to accept Jesus. That is the revelation of God to the unsaved, but it doesn't stop there. It only gets better. In verse 12 through 15, we see is a revelation of God to man after that you are saved. In verse 12, it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify of me, for he will take what is of mine and declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine, and he will declare it unto you. The Holy Spirit is still working in each and every one of our lives. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. If we're led by His Spirit, it verifies in our hearts and our lives that we are a child of God, because we are being led by His Spirit because of that revelation, that need of knowing that we came to Jesus, that we came to Him, and He's still leading us today. In John 14, verse 17, it says, He dwells with you and He will be in you. 52% of the Christian community that say there are other non-Christian faiths that will lead people to eternal life is 52% of the Christian community that are not saved. Amen. You get that? Because they have never had a revelation from God that He is the only way, that His Son is the only truth. Because if they had, they would be saying that only through Jesus can they be saved. God revealing the truth to you today about your need for Jesus. People say, God that can't save me. I have done too much wrong. He can't save me. And there is not one person that doesn't wish they could go back and change something they did, they could do it over. Your pastor included. I've told you before that my mom told me the wisest thing that she ever told me. She says, Leo, everybody has a skeleton in their closet. That they would just assume that they didn't march it out in front of everybody else in the world to see. Well, Pastor, Leo's got them, you got them, everybody's got them. We all have things that we wish that we could go back and we could fix. But let me tell you, you cannot out-sin the grace of God. There is nothing that puts you outside His grace. I don't care how ugly you think that sin was or how terrible you think that sin, you cannot out-sin the grace of God. Jesus Christ, when He went to the cross, He died for all of them. Every last one of them. We don't have to look back. We only have to look up for what Jesus wants to do in each and every one of our lives. God wants to forgive. He wants to save. And there's one other aspect I want to point out before we close today. He wants to set you free. Do you need set free today? Maybe you're saved. Maybe you've been saved for years, but you're not set free because Satan keeps throwing that in your face. You remember when you used to do this? You remember when you used to be that kind of person? Remember when you used to do all those things? You don't deserve to be in the house of the Lord. What kind of a person do you think you are? You go to church, you're around all those good people. You're all around all those wonderful people that love Jesus. And here you're sitting there and look at the things that you've done in your past. That's the Satan that wants to rob and kill and destroy. But Jesus came that you will have life and you will have it abundantly, as Joe said today in faith school. In John 10:10, He wants you to have that freedom to worship Him. There is nobody in this church any better than anybody else. We're all forgiven sinners. We've all done things wrong. We all wish there were things that there could be in the past that could be gone and could be done away with. But I love what the Apostle Paul says. I forget those things in the past, and I keep pressing forward to the upward call in Christ Jesus. Pressing forward. Satan, don't hold that over my head. Don't hold that over my brother or my sister's head. They're just as good as we are, and we're all joint heirs with Jesus because we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. What is it? What would it be for us to say that we're not good enough? When Jesus accepted you, when Jesus forgave you, when God says, I love you back into my fellowship and back into my relationship, I will not only say that you are my son and you are my daughter, but you're a joint heir with Jesus as of this day because you accepted Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, that's how I want to close. Will you stand with me today, reading from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.